Okay, we didn't get our camera going today, but Tim likes to record the lesson and then he puts it on his website. If you haven't been there, you need to check it out. It's called the Hollow Owl Farm. But he puts all the audio files. I don't know if there's video, but all the audio files there anyway. All right. Let's ask God to guide us here, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we're here, dear Lord, and we thank you for your word. We pray that we do it justice, dear Lord, today when we're discussing the lesson that you've put in front of us. And we pray that we can see the things that we can take out of this, dear Lord, that apply to us and apply to those around us so that we will be better prepared to help people when the need arises. We ask you to guide us, direct us, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, the title of our lesson is
Jesus Cast Out Legion.
And what is legion?
Many, multiple.
Yeah. But that is also one of the names for Satan, is legion.
Well, the demons that were there said their name was legion because they were so many.
Okay, we're in our lesson this week is in the book of Mark, and it tells me, because I've missed 2 weeks, that it picks right up where you left off last week, where Jesus calmed the storm. They were on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up, and he was asleep, and all the disciples got all bent out of shape and said, you know, how can you sleep when we're all going to die? And, oh ye of little faith, okay? So then they go right across the sea and they come to land, and what they find here is probably a little bit disturbing if it was something that we would see, but Jesus was more than ready and able to deal with it. The lesson's broken up into 3 parts, the setting, the conflict, and the fallout. And the setting, like I said, they just crossed the Sea of Galilee. And they landed at a place called the Gadarenes. And the first thing that they see when they land there is a real eye-opener, if you ask me. So if somebody will read verses, like I said, we're in the book of Mark chapter 5. Read verses 1 and 2, please.
And they came over and to the other side.
Gadarenes.
And when he was... come out.
I think we missed something there. Read verse 2 again.
And when he had was come out of the...
Oh, well, that's not what mine says. Is yours?
Yeah.
That's what yours says? Yeah.
Okay.
Mine says, verse 2, and when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him bound with fetters and chains... And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him.
That's 4.
Huh?
That's 4.
No, that's just 1 and 2. And 3.
That's our 4.
Your book does the math chart.
1, 2, and 3.
2 right there.
Yeah. No, we'll see. 1, 2. I got a whole bunch in 2, and then 3.
Yeah, it does sound down in the...
Okay, anyway. They got met by a crazy guy when the ship landed. They saw something that they weren't expecting to see. And it was... And you know what I visualized? Probably everybody here has seen the show The Incredible Hulk at one time or another. It's been years. But remember when the Hulk turned into this altered personality, how his clothes ripped and everything that was on him, it just all flew away because of this superhuman strength. That's what I imagined when I read about this guy. They had put chains on him, but nothing could hold him. He had this superhuman strength. And what does that tell us about the devil?
He's
very strong. He is very strong. He is strong enough to overtake your whole body.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that we know about this area of the Gadarenes, it was a Gentile area. If there were very many Jews there, they didn't talk about them. It was mostly all Gentiles. And let's see. So he was broken. He broke all the chains. They tried to fasten him up, but he broke everything. They could not contain him. Okay. So now, if somebody will read 3, 4, and 5. We'll do it again.
Who had his dwelling among the two that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters...
One more.
Oh, and always, day and night, and in the tombs,
crying and cutting himself with stones, yes. Okay, so where did he live?
In a graveyard.
He lived in a graveyard. Well, that in itself would be enough to drive you over the edge, I think. But then they go on and say something here that I hadn't really heard about this until just a few years ago, about people cutting themselves.
Cutters.
Yeah, cutters. And I thought, that is biblical. I assume that the reason they cut themselves is to try to dull the pain, if that makes any sense. You cut yourself to dull the pain, even though cutting yourself causes pain. But what he's trying to do here is calm a different kind of pain. It's a mental pain. And he is this way because, why does he have this pain?
Because he's got a mental spirit.
Yes. Because for some reason or another, Satan has chosen this man to reside. He has chosen this man for a vessel. Now, did he do anything in his former life to deserve this punishment? We don't know. We're not told that. But we do know that he never slept. He was raging and ranting constantly, all the time. And by him being able to break away all these chains and all these fetters, he had a supernatural strength. So that tells us right there that the devil can make us do things that we don't have the strength to do. But the devil, through us, can perform all this stuff. Okay? All right, let's go on. Now we're into this part of the message called the conflict. If somebody will read 6 through 9.
When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, What have I to do with my God that you do not torment me? For he said, we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out.
That's it. That's enough. Go just through 9. Yeah. Okay. So it says, and when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him. So we know that the demon has possessed this guy. Demons recognize Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
They recognize Jesus sometimes even quicker than we do. But this man saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him, and he called him what?
Son of the Most High.
Son of the Most High God. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And he or the demon that was speaking through him, begged him not to torment him. So what did Jesus do right away? He told him, he said, come out of there, you unclean spirit, come out of this man. And then he asked this spirit, what's your name? He's going to have a little conversation with him. And the spirit told him his name was Legion, meaning that we are many. And if you read the text in the lesson book, in the Roman army, a legion could have been as many as 5,000 people. Well, there's a little joke out there that says, my wife has multiple personalities, and some days I get to see more than one. Okay, so how about this guy having 5,000, possibly 5,000 different voices in your mind, warring with each other, because you know, devils don't get along. They're all fighting for territory. They're all fighting for supremacy. So they've got a battle going on within this man. I just can't imagine what kind of torment that is. And let me see. Rather than talking to this a demon at length, Jesus just said, "What's your name? What's your name?" So then he told him, "Well, there was a time when Jesus cast out 7 demons from who? Do you remember? Who was one of Jesus, the women that followed Jesus?
Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Jesus actually cast 7 demons out of her. But it would have been worse to be inhabited by so many evil spirits as this man was. And by him being this way, he had no friends. He was totally alone. He didn't sleep. He raged night and day. There was just no peace. P-E-A-C-E. There was just no peace for this man to have, for him to experience. So when they told him that they were many, then Jesus goes on to have the rest of the conversation. Said they knew that his identity and he had the power over him, and that one day he was going to judge them. But what do we know, all of these stories that we're learning about Jesus, in this quarter especially, when someone asks him something and he may not give the answer or may not give the solution that they're looking for, it's because he says, "My time has not yet come. There's still more." So these demons knew that it wasn't time for them to be judged. The judgment's going to come at the tribulation. So he knew that it wasn't their time yet to be judged, but they still knew that they had to be afraid. They had to be afraid of Jesus because he had the power to do this. But his timetable and man's timetable were not the same. He was acting totally on the will of his Father. All right. Are we good so far? Okay. If somebody will read then 10 through 13.
"And he besought him much that he would not. There was there going to the mountains a great herd of swine. All the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter into them.'"
Go.
"And forthwith Jesus gave them violently down a steep place into the sea."
Okay, and he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Who's that? He besought them.
The demons.
The demons, yeah. Didn't want him to send them away out of the country. They were in Gentile territory here. So he didn't want him to send them away. And so then Christ saw this herd of swine. And the devils then said, "Well, put us in the swine." When they asked to go into the swine, I'm sure they had no idea what the result of that was going to be. You know?
Right.
Have you ever been to the pig show at the Dodgers County Fair? You just watch 3 or 4 little pigs out there running around in that circle, and you know how crazy they can get at times. Can you imagine 2,000? It would be a nightmare. So, and forthwith it says, "Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and then they went violently down this hill into the sea and was drowned." Okay, there's lots of reasons that they gave why Jesus would put them into the swine. What's one of them you could think of?
Unclean.
Jews did not eat pork, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that might have been one reason. What was another reason?
They were there.
They were available. Wrong place, wrong time. Okay, so they were there. They were available. And any other reasons you can think of?
They were dirty and, not... Well, when the prodigal son left, he ended up feeding the swine, which is a job even the servants don't like to do.
And he even ate the food that was there for the swine and said,
what am I doing?
Yeah.
It's not a good thing for,
Yeah. Well, the reason the book here says that these demons may have been trying to stir trouble up for Jesus, because if all of these pigs were destroyed, that would be a real blast to their economy. Because I'm sure people made money off of this. You know what I mean? And this was hurting their economy. So that might have been another reason that that these demons went into the pig. It highlighted how many demons there were and how great that Jesus' power was. It was a Gentile region, and some wonder whether or not the Jews who helped raise these pigs might have also ate them. So Jews may have been involved a little bit. This is just somebody's opinion. May have been involved a little bit in this swine trade. I guess maybe you'd call it. I'm not sure. But Jesus understood one thing. He understood one thing. One man is worth more than a whole herd of swine. And that's one thing you can take to the bank. When I was reading about this guy living in the tombs, I have never worked in an insane asylum. But can you imagine the moans, the groaning? I mean, I've just been in a nursing home to visit somebody, and you hear people that just lay there and moan and moan, and you think, oh, how terrible that is. What an existence. What an existence. And you have to wonder why that happens. I don't know. There's no answer to that that I have. It does. And by that, I think you can harden yourself till you actually then don't have very much sympathy. I'm just saying. I don't know. But I would think that you would try to toughen up, and then it would be hard to actually feel compassion for people. But that's just my opinion. Okay, now we're going to have the fallout. This is the fallout from what just happened. All these swine running into the water. And if somebody will read 14 through 17.
And those who fed the swine fled, and they told the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, the one who had been demon-possessed, happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region.
Okay, the fallout. So these people that were in charge of the swine out here, they went right into the city and told everything, didn't they? They went in the city, and everybody ran out then to see what was going on. And what did they see when they got there?
Man sitting.
Yeah.
Dressed and just sitting and having conversation with Jesus.
The man that had been ostracized from the community because of the way he was, because of this demon possession, he was dressed, just sitting there with Jesus, just calm, cool, and collected. And what did it do to them?
It scared them.
Yes, they were afraid. And so then they saw what had happened to this guy, and what did they want Jesus to do?
Leave.
They wanted him to leave. Why do you suppose they wanted him to leave?
There's many reasons.
There's a lot of reasons. Yeah, give me one.
They could see that he would destroy some of their
way of life.
Because a lot of these people use soothsayers and fortune tellers to make their monies.
So they wanted him to leave before what? Their economy went completely bust. That was one of the reasons.
They feared him.
And they were afraid of him, yes. Anyone that would have this much control over demons, they were afraid of. And obviously they were afraid of demons, and that's why this fellow lived in the graveyards. Because they were afraid of him simply because of the demons that were in him. Okay.
Don't we always fear something we don't understand?
Sure. Yeah.
I know. There were some people down at West Union when I was in high school, because they weren't normal.
Yeah. Well, and that's our reaction when something is different. Yeah. And I remember one time I was working uptown and went down town at lunch, probably to pick up something at one of the stores. And there was an older lady on the street, and she was going from person to person, have I told you what Jesus has done for me? And, you know, rather than me listen to what she had to say, I got out of her way. Because I'm like, June, it scared me. It scared me.
I didn't understand what she meant, and so I was really scared. And every time I would see her and her son.
Well, I had a strange thing happen to me on Friday. My phone rang, and it was a Clarksburg number, and I don't normally answer the phone if I don't know the number, but I answered it, and this lady, sounded like a young lady, says, "I'm homeless, and I just wondered if you could help me." And I, first thing I said, "Well, this is a personal number." I said, "You must have the wrong number." "Oh," she said, "well, somebody," and she was talking to somebody in the background. She said, "Somebody gave me this number by mistake." She says, "I'm so sorry. But, you know, people are out there, and they're looking for help. They are looking for help. And this is the hard time of year. You know, we get all excited about the holidays, but sometimes, in some ways, it produces a lot of sadness because we look around at the people that are no longer here, and, you know, it's a lot to overcome. But we can do it because Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. He's there with us. Through the good times and the bad times. Okay. So they wanted him to leave because they were afraid he was going to be a detriment to their economy. Okay, so now we have the part, the last part. This is 18 through 20. Somebody will read that. Okay. So this man that had been so graciously healed by Jesus, what was his desire?
To go with him.
He says, "Please, take me with you. I want to go with you." And Jesus says, "No." He says, "You can do more here." And he told him, he says, "I want you to go about and tell all these great things that the Lord has done for you." This is probably the first, I think I read this. This guy is the first Gentile missionary. Because Jesus sent him out with a purpose. Go and tell people what the Lord has done for you. With the compassion that he had on you. Jesus sent him out. And the guy did. He went. It says in the Decapolis, which just means like there was 10 cities. So he went around in all these 10 cities and was telling him everything that Jesus has done for him. And they all marveled at the response that this man had. So Tim always sends out things to help us prepare for the Sunday school lesson. And the very first thing that he sent this week said, which you can take great comfort in this, believers have the Holy Spirit in us. While we have the Holy Spirit in us, a demon cannot enter. The Holy Spirit is our shield, our armor. And it protects our person from demons coming into us. That is, you can take that to the bank. That's really a good, really good thing to know. Another thing in this lesson, it says something that you have to remember. Satan hates God. And Satan hates those who follow God. He's quite an adversary, but we have the benefit of the Holy Spirit. We have the benefit of the Word of God that we can study and learn how it is to reject or protect ourselves, help to protect ourselves. You know, Jesus is there to protect those who can't protect themselves. But he's also there to give us the protection that we need. All right? He gives us the strength that we need to overcome the trials, and there are many trials. There are so many things that we suffer in this life, and why do we do that? Why do we have to suffer? Are we any better than Christ?
Look, Jesus suffered.
Yeah, look what he suffered, and he did it willingly, didn't he? Yeah. He did it willingly, so we're not any better than he is. Just always remember that. Okay, what do we got next, Susie? The golden text. All right.
"However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends
and tell them what great things.
Okay, there are three things why this verse is very important. It says, first, Christ has full dominion over the spirit world, even though he is not physically present on earth. Second, Christ's compassion on the man reminds us that Christ is not just the supreme authority, he is also a savior. Okay? And third, this scene gives a glimpse of what all the earth will be like in the kingdom of the Son. It's what we have to look forward to. Okay. Practical points.
Jesus can help us.
Have you ever had a time in your life when you thought, this is just hopeless. I just cannot overcome this. And here you are. You're still here. There's a very good reason for that. We're still here.
He's not done with us.
He's not done with us, right? That's right.
Remember that demons are real and affect the world.
Now, I don't think this is talking about our pets. I think this is talking about that herd of pigs. It's not talking about your little fur babies. It's not talking about that. Okay.
People are more important than your little fur baby.
Yeah, well, it depends on circumstance. Yeah.
I find her to be a lot nicer than most people.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. They usually are, but, you know, those people that...
This is probably not... You know, it says, you know why your dog always goes to the bathroom with you? Because you go with them. You take them outside. So you go with them, so they figure they'll just go with you too. Anyway, okay. Sometimes when people see the power of God, they reject him. If we share the gospel and someone does not listen, that does not necessarily mean that we've done something wrong. It doesn't mean that we have failed. You know, there are barriers.
We planted a seed.
Well, yeah, we planted a seed. That's right.
Jesus did not always call us.
Yeah. Some things are tough, aren't they? Some things are hard. Jesus calls us to share what he has done with our friends and family. And that's the whole thing of Thanksgiving here. If we are truly thankful for everything that God has done for us and all that he's brought us through, we should be more than willing to share that with everyone. Agreed? Anybody have any questions or comments about the lesson? It was a pretty good lesson. Okay. Well, thank you all for your help. I appreciate it.